flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
I'll get you off air.
Yeah, that is the it's just the tree falls in the middle of the woods. It's one of those, like, I'll show you.
It's so funny.
Is anybody else going to hear it? Do you have your zinger ready to go? He was, like, so excited, too. He's, like, piling on. And he's like, oh, he's flustered.
Oh, I got Googling questions over there. It's like, no, he probably was Googling a stat or something like that. I don't know.
I'll walk it back tomorrow. And he's like, son of a.
He's like, cause that's me, right? Because I do that every week.
Because I correct it every week
that's
and walk
me.
It back.
I do that all the time.
I'm a punchline. Ha ha.
Damn it.
And then he goes, I'll get you off air. It is like, it is like George. You know, I'll have sex with your wife.
The jerk store called.
It's just, it's so.
What's the difference? You're their all-time bestseller.
That's it. That's a KO.
I need to go back to the drawing board. Yeah. But it's like, he's so bad on his feet.
Yeah.
He thinks he's on the offensive, boxing Curtis around.
No.
Curtis says, yeah, I'll walk it back tomorrow.
And he's like, yeah.
And then he's like, I'll get you off air, because I'm not going to do it on the air.
I got nothing right now, but I'll get you.
We talk to my people. We'll come up with something.
I'll get you.
We're going to get you. We're going to get you good. That's your head coach, which, again, is just not a good place to be.
No. No, it's not. He's the head coach right now.
For now.
He is that coach right now.
Yeah.
For now.
He'll be the head coach this coming weekend for the Patriots against the Buffalo Bills. That game got flexed to 425. We have more news from the NFL. The Patriots also have officially been flexed to Saturday. Week 17.
Broadcast team for that?
I don't.
Oh,
hang
of course
on.
I do.
Saturday, December 28th against the L.A. Chargers. That is week 17. So this week, 425 against Buffalo. The following week, they're moved from Sunday to Saturday, 1 p.m. against the Chargers, December 28th. It's part of a Saturday triple header. Broncos, Bengals, Cardinals, Rams also moved. Who's the broadcast team?
Chris Rose.
You got it!
I got it!
Ross Tucker with his tie that's too short.
What?
And okay. Steve Weish.
Steve Weish?
He's sideline, I think.
Is he?
Yeah, it's a sideline. Yeah.
Throw him in the booth. Throw him in there. They should put him in the booger mobile.
Just sliding up and down.
We got our third guy on a forklift down the 30-yard line for no real reason.
Okay, Russ.
How about this? All of a sudden, the Pats are must-see TV. 425, then a Saturday game?
Yeah.
Nice.
I don't mind the Saturday as much. 425 this weekend is depressing. I don't mind Saturday as much. But Ross Tucker, speaking of Ross Tucker, part of that broadcast on December 28th. With who again? Oh, Chris Rose.
Chris Rose.
Steve Weish.
Who, Chris Rose actually wasn't bad. Remember? I mean, maybe we're comparing him to Rich Eisen, but they both did international games this year.
Right.
Did
yes.
Rose do their the Pats
Rose
game?
Did the Pats game.
Yeah.
So. I think is right.
Yeah.
And
yeah, with Joe Thomas.
Eisen was miserable on it a year ago when they played against the Colts. But Ross Tucker will be on WEEI Afternoons today at 2:30.
So mark that down. But there you go. I think Reese foreshadowed this over the weekend. We talked about it yesterday. It was likely going to move to Saturday. That's now official as part of a triple
hit. All right.
On Jerod Mayo, Keith.
Yeah.
I asked earlier today, what is the reason to keep him around? And what is the Jerod Mayo-based reason to keep him around? Not just, you know, the idea of, well, every coach deserves a second year. That's not really about Jerod Mayo. That's just your general feeling on an NFL head coach. Or even Robert Kraft really put himself out there. He picked him 5 years ago. They put it in writing in his contract a year ago. He compared it to picking his wife. That's really more of a Robert Kraft thing. What's the reason for Jerod Mayo to be back based on merit, based on what you've seen out of the team, based on what he's done? What's the reason we're keeping him around?
I can't come up with anything, you know, in all seriousness. I can't for that. I can come up with plenty of reasons as to why he will be back.
Yep.
But none of them are like great reasons, and none of them are supportive of him and the job that he has done. Because the win-loss is about where I thought it would be, but just how it's looked has been worse. And we joke about, you know, just the way he handles the press conferences and everything else, but it's not just the way he handles the press conferences. It's the way he talks about the players on the team, the other coaches on the staff, and like all of that. And so that's pretty bad. I think one thing that he has going for him, unlike Bill, and Bill was the only one that really had this left in the NFL, was Bill was in charge of all of it. So if it was bad, it's all on him. Like, yep. Why does the roster stink, Bill? Why are you not getting the most out of the young guys, Bill? Like, you could put it all on Bill. Whereas with Mayo, you're like, why is the roster bad? Like,
Wolf.
They would say they would probably say Bill.
Yeah, good point.
But like you
good
and point. I would be like, all right, it's Elliot Wolf
or ownership.
In ownership, maybe not spending.
Yeah.
So like he gets away from that completely. Also, the offense, and I still can't get the visual of Robert and Jonathan Kraft ripping the play calling. Like, very specifically, the play calling. It wasn't the play call. It wasn't our offensive line. It was the whole play calling.
And I agree with you on this, and I disagree with Curran when he joined us earlier. He's like, well,
what do you think?
I mean, they just cut to him, and that's what they were going to say. But, of course, what did you think they were going to be saying? I didn't think Jonathan was going to be sitting there with notes. Both of them agreeing on how terrible the play calling is.
Yeah. The play calling.
Not the players. I look at it a lot and go, man, the players suck. They said the play calling sucks.
Yeah, because Curran made a line about like Vidarian Lowe, and I'm like, yeah, if they said, oh, he sucks.
Yeah.
Now, that's pretty bad also have on television, but if he said that, that's sort of a one-off, and that's not on Alex Van Pelt.
Right.
Alex Van Pelt didn't pick any of these offensive linemen. He's just trying to get the most out of them.
If you can pan to them at any point and they go, the play calling sucks, that's a terrible sign for Van Pelt.
I think it's a horrible sign.
Yeah.
That's not a horrible sign, though, for Jerod Mayo.
Nope.
In fact, it's probably a good sign for Jerod Mayo. Because they, and I think...
Well, and who did, in a related story, after they criticized the play calling on offense on TV, who did Mayo throw under the bus?
Van Pelt. Mm-hmm. Was the safe thing to do. He might have even gotten word about what happened.
Maybe.
Somebody might have even told him. Because I'm sure it was like a big talking point. They knew about it. Somebody got in his ear.
Or he just knows generally how they debrief him every Monday. So he might just know generally how they feel, whether he knew they were on TV or not.
Siding with him to sort of protect himself.
Yeah.
And that's what it felt like in real time. And then, no, but I think that was really significant. And I think 99% of fans would overall kind of disagree with Kraft and be like, yeah, the play calling is not great, but there are so many other issues on this team right now. But that feels like the guy right now that they're going to kind of scapegoat and be like, we're going to have another offensive coordinator, which would make it 5 in 5 years. And then you're like, all right, well, what's the bigger problem here, and how is this going to get better? And if nobody wanted the job last year, why would they be lining up to take the job this year outside of Drake May,
that's the reason.
That's got to be the only reason, which is a good reason. But that guy's going to come in and be like, who's the offensive line? How, like, is the coach supportive? is the GM and owners supportive, or like, am I going to be the scapegoat again? It's sort of like being the Red Sox GM, and they paralleled very nicely. Craig Breslow and Alex Van Pelt were both the 12th, 13th choice, and they both look back at the previous guys and they're like, well, so why am I safe? Why am I going to be here very long? Oh, I'm not. Like, okay, I guess I'll take it.
Yeah,
and that's why you get people that aren't super qualified.
And
for
we've
it.
Established this before. As a head coach, maybe you're interested in working with Drake May, but as a coordinator, you get to work with May, but you got to work for Mayo in that scenario,
right?
And I wouldn't be super interested in that.
And so I wonder if that's something that Mayo can change. Because to be fair, because we've been mostly just piling on Mayo, one of the big stories all season long is how conservative they've been. They punt for like a 20-yard gain. They attempt all these field goals instead of going for it. They did go for it on a couple of fourth downs this past week, like fourth and shorts.
Yep.
And they got one of them, then didn't get the other.
I agreed. They didn't get both, but I agreed with both decisions to go for it.
A little bit more aggressive than they had shown before.
And by the way, I do blame Van Pelt for their lack of aggression and their conservative play calling. We asked Van Pelt about it on Friday. I do blame him for some of that.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
But the coach can overrule him. So the coach also gets blamed there, meaning the head coach, Jerod Mayo. This occurred to me. You know what we're due for, Keefe? We're due for one of these juicy behind-the-scenes scoops from Andrew Callahan and the Boston Herald. He's had a couple of these late in the year, the last couple of years. Maybe it's just after the year ends. I'm trying to remember.
Yeah.
Or Kendrick Bourne or whoever was like, they effed us, right? And you have all these various stories about Bill and Mayo behind the scenes. Like Wickersham really gave us more detail, right, about the story with the bat and everything. But Callahan had a good look behind. We're due for one of those from the Boston Herald.
Hello.
And Andrew Callahan specifically. Maybe
you think it's right when the season
maybe
ends?
Maybe.
Yeah.
But what I want to know, and this is what I'm driving at.
Okay.
I want to know how bad it is between Mayo and Van Pelt. I want to know how bad that is. Because Mayo came on yesterday and said, I talked to Alex about it on Monday. Which, by the way, you should have done it right after you said it.
Yeah.
You guys had a whole flight back to the East Coast. But you said you did it on Monday and he didn't even know what we were talking about. He's like, hey, no worries. Van Pelt comes on. He's like, I work for coach. Coach this. Coach that. I bet it's real bad between those two. And it wouldn't be the first time that offensive coaches have been pissed at Mayo because it came out from Bedard a week or so ago that all the coaches last year on the offensive side, Mayo was kind of sitting there in meetings going, I don't know, we're good on our side of the ball. You guys, what are you doing over there?
Yeah.
And he's rubbed coaches the wrong way, offensive coaches. I bet Van Pelt hates his guts. That's what I bet.
Well, it's funny. With us last Friday, I think Van Pelt kind of made it pretty clear where I'm sure, even though he's one of these guys, I don't listen or watch anything, but you know people in his life probably do and probably tell him, or he's just lying about that. So he's probably generally aware of how people are criticizing how conservative they are.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to drive him nuts because there's probably times where he's like, yeah, let's go for two here, or let's go for it on fourth down.
I work for coach.
He made that very clear.
Yep.
And he's like, hey, I'm the one who calls what run play, but we meaning Gerod, wanted to run the ball.
Yeah,
so that's why we ran the ball.
If we want to run tempo, we want to run clock, we want to be aggressive, I do what coach says.
I think that's him, the much as he's going to do, because one of the other things we heard about Van Pelt all along is like one of the greatest guys to work with, only good relationships. You're not going to find anybody around the league to badmouth Van Pelt. But now that he's the guy, he's
just the head coach here.
and
ownership here.
Yeah, tough sign. Yeah. Tough sign.
Yeah.
And so, but he kind of pushed back. Like, I work for coach. Like, what coach says goes. So, like, all these things that we're mad about, and you sort of put on Van Pelt, and you're like, well, maybe that is Mayo.
So, most of the things about Mayo and the reason to keep him to me, and you made a bunch of reasons why he might keep his job. I don't think they're satisfactory reasons for my taste, but they all make sense for Kraft. I want to look patient. I don't want to be, Dave Tepper in Carolina. I want to look like the Rooneys and how they do things in Pittsburgh, so I'm not just going to panic and move on after 1 year. Or my personal relationship with Mayo. Those are reasons Kraft might keep him, but that's not a satisfactory reason for me as a Patriots fan. The one thing that I had heard all year, specific to Mayo, is that the team hadn't quit on him and the team hadn't checked out. And I think Sunday against Arizona was something different, and don't take my word for it. Mike Reese threw an absolute haymaker, a couple of them, earlier today. Took a blowtorch to the Patriots by Reese's standards. You know, I think he can be very critical, but he's normally fair about it, mild-mannered about it. For his standards, this is taking a flamethrower to Jerod Mayo. He says, the Patriots got what they deserved on Sunday against Arizona.
Yeah.
It was an unacceptable performance for a team coming off a bye, and there should be genuine soul-searching at all levels of the organization.
Holy smokes, tip to tail.
For how a team with a Patriots logo on the helmet could allow that to happen.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so that's questioning all levels of the organization, I'd imagine, head coach included. He also has a more pointed criticism for Jerod Mayo and his defense because they didn't tackle well. They were taking poor angles, Jabril Peppers, on the long James Conner run. He says that sparks a question about coaching because defense, after all,
is Jerod Mayo's expertise. So those are pretty direct criticisms of Mayo specifically. That was not a team playing hard for their coach. That was a team that looked checked out after the bye week.
Well, I also think it's telling that, you know, Sunday before the game, there were a couple of those different reports out there that's like, hey, they're going to stick with Mayo. But let's see what these games look like. And then a few hours later, you have that performance against the team that was the most beatable remaining on the schedule, and you lost that one. So now with three more games to go, like, what's it going to look like? You get the Bills twice? And if they have anything to play for, and they might, like, they have a lot to play for this weekend.
Ton.
And then the last week of the season, if the Chiefs lose without Patrick Mahomes this weekend, like, home field could very much be on the line, and then you have the Bills twice, and then you have a team like the Chargers who's going to be fighting for a playoff spot.
Right. For that Week 18 game to not matter, the Chiefs have to win their next two, possibly both without Mahomes.
Yeah. So I think the Bills are probably going for it, and then it's just hard to spin that where you've lost seven in a row. And you're like, hey, I know we said you were safe, you know, around Thanksgiving, but then we just watched you lose week in and week out, including really no adjustments, like nothing following the bye week to make it look like you were doing a whole lot. It was just more of the same, maybe a little bit worse.
And remember Schefter a week or so ago on WEEI Afternoons, he'll be on tomorrow, really, I thought, left the door open for Mayo's firing. He's like, crazy things happen every year.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, no, they're committed to Mayo. He's definitely back. That's a crazy question. It's like, it's happened before and it could happen again. That to me was leaving the door open.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Daniels had this earlier today. He said, remember when it was reported Joe Judge would return as Giants coach? It was a few years ago. I gotta be honest, I really don't.
Yeah.
But okay, apparently it was reported at the time Joe Judge was going to return. 16 days later, he was fired after multiple embarrassments. Is that when he was running draw plays on like 3rd and 20?
Yeah, might have been.
Including a blow-up.
You guys ain't been in the building for 2 years now with this coach.
This is what it was. Including,
I'll tell you right now, you walk into our locker room, you ain't seen that crap you saw before. Right? And that's not because of some high school program we're cracking whip. It's because our guys understand how to play together as a team.
That's it.
And they understand the process of how they're going through. But in terms of the next step to take, I can tell you right now, okay, I know we're a whole lot closer to where we're going than we are further away.
Well,
so
they fired him and made the playoffs the next year.
I was going to say.
But 16 days later, after multiple embarrassments, including that blow up at the podium.
Yeah.
Daniels says, I feel like that story is relevant for Jerod Mayo. He needs to clean it up. The biggest issue for Mayo is that he can't coach and the team sucks.
He was fired 8 days after that.
Yeah.
That rant right there.
There you go. Yep. So, like, in that 2 week span, it was reported he was safe. He was probably feeling himself, and he came out and said that. Next thing you know, you're fired a week later. These PR missteps are so damaging for Mayo. And to throw other coaches under the bus and then to get boxed around by Curtis and say, I'll get you off the air.
I'll get you later.
Like, none of that helps.
No,
and that's the kind of stuff that embarrasses the franchise and will get certainly Jonathan Kraft thinking about doing it and maybe Jonathan lobbying his dad to do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it would be the right thing to move on from this coach. Why would you keep him? What are the reasons to keep him? I still haven't heard a good one. 617-779-7937. Beyond just coaches deserve a second year, which plenty of them get fired after one nowadays.